Genesis chapter 3. The message today is about our Lord's last proverb. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 16. Unto the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I will greatly multiply thy pain or sorrow and thy conception. In pain thou shalt bring forth children. Now John 16. Verse 19. Jesus perceived that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves concerning this, that I said, A little while, and you behold me not, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, but the joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, what book is like this book from which we have read? Indeed, it is the Word of God. We thank you for what you've told us about heaven and about life and death. We thank you, our Father, for all the light that has been shed upon us from the contents of thy Word. Let us know the two passages that we've read this morning. Our Father, how solemn are those passages, but at the same time, what hope is contained in those passages. We pray, our God, that the sorrow and the hope and the solemnity of these things shall be brought home to our hearts. And so, our Father, that all be fed here, and may all receive light from heaven, and not refuse that light, but accept that light and become children of God. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is the fourth week that I've told you about Christ and his parables. First, I must be about my Father's business, and then about they that be whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And then Christ, the parable speaker, and today, the last parable, but I told you, if you could possibly remember, that what is contained in Matthew, Mark, and Luke we call them parables, and a different word is used, and what we find in the Gospel of John we call proverbs. So, after 70 parables in the synoptics, and 13 parables in Proverbs in the Gospel of John, we come to the last one, which is John 16. A strange proverb for our Lord to speak, but immediately we learn the source of that proverb. I told you in past weeks that our Lord, in preparing, was gathering from the experiences of life and from the Word of God itself, material for parables and proverbs. And of all things, the very last proverb our Savior speaks is taken from the very first after sin has come into the world. A woman has sinned, she has taken of the forbidden fruit, and the judgment of God is passed upon her. What you find is that this proverb about conception and suffering and anguish and then joy is found so many times in the Bible that I shall not even tell you all the references. But perhaps today we shall consider this proverb, the contents, as it is found actually concerning womankind, and then the apostles, and then the Lord Jesus himself, and then the soul winner, and the one who forms churches, and then last of all, Israel itself. I mentioned just a few. There are many more. But all of these things have this in common, the concept of childbearing. And our Lord takes this concept and he forms it into a proverb and he speaks it to his disciples. Now, think about it for a moment and try to grasp why he uses this proverb as to what is going to happen and the condition of heart of the disciples for a little while. He said, a little while, there was going to be sorrow. He said, but then again a little while, and there shall be joy. What are these two things like? He says, they are like a woman conceiving a child and then bearing the child. The first little while is the sorrow. The second little while is the joy. Now listen to the verse again and put these things together. Christ is speaking about sorrow for a little while, and then another little while, and then joy that comes, and nobody takes that joy away from you. It says, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. That is the proverb, and it fits the condition of the disciples at that time, and what shall happen to them in a little while. First of all, we shall consider the parable itself, this proverb, this comparison, from it's spoken of by God and a woman. This proverb that Christ composes is taken from Genesis 3:16. It is that pronouncement of judgment upon the woman when she has sinned and she is not going to escape the consequences, but there follows this judgment passed upon the woman, as there is a judgment passed upon the serpent, And as there is a judgment passed upon the man, this judgment is passed upon the woman. Now listen. He said, because you've done this thing, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and the word sorrow can be included in the word pain, all that goes along with childbirth. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. It says, speaking of this, you're going to have sorrow upon sorrow, and then you're going to be put in subjection to your husband, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over thee. So think of this for a moment. This pronouncement was made after sin came into the world. And I conclude that before sin came into the world, this was not what God had planned for woman. Yes, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Yes, conception. But he had no intention of woman to experience pain and sorrow and all the pangs that women go through when she brings a child into the world. That is the judgment of sin. It's like this. It is when God pronounced judgment upon Adam. He said, you will eat your bread. Your living will be made by the sweat of your face. The earth will bring forth thorns and thistles. Cursed is the earth. Now, the earth wasn't cursed at first. And man wasn't to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. Why, if at the first I was in the garden, there was nothing that I had to worry about. I could go and partake of all the fruits of the garden save one, and I just had to till it, and it was the simplest form of labor that had to be exerted. To think of working in the garden in the day, and in the cool of the day, God from heaven would come down and fellowship with his creature. But when sin came, the earth was cursed, and his labor, his getting through life, was entirely different. And in like manner, here is a woman, and she is to bring forth children, but now God says, you will bring forth those children in sorrow, in pain, in anguish, in travail. And so here is the proverb that Christ uses, and he takes it from Genesis 3:16. But think now, because there are variations to this woman and her childbirth, but in the case of Christ, there is a little while that there is travail and pain and anguish, but then the child is born, and then there is joy and rejoicing, because a man is born into the world. That is the normal thing. But there are always those abnormalities, and God tells us about them as well. How many women in the Bible wanted to conceive, but they were not able. God had shut up those wombs. How many women in the Bible conceived, and then the Bible says there was miscarrying. And at times a prayer is uttered about enemies of God, give them miscarrying wombs. And what is so sad in the Bible is when we read about this woman, Rachel, who was not able to have children, but she prayed unto God, I want more children than Joseph, but it cost her her life to bring forth another child. And it says this, that while she was in travail, she had hard labor. And just before she died, because she did die, she said, I'm going to name this child Benoni, son of my sorrow. But Jacob said, no, he shall be called Benjamin, son of my right hand. But notice, here is the travail. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more her anguish, because of the joy that a man is born into the world. But here is a woman who has that anguish, and a man is born into the world, and she wants him to be remembered as the one who brought sorrow into her life. And then this woman dies, and there is no living to see that child grow up. There is no joy. So do not think that when Christ speaks this parable, that it is absolute, because there are so many variations to this judgment that has come upon women. Some women that want children more than anything, and they're not able to have them. Some that want children, and they have miscarriages. Some that have children, and for a while, there is joy. She is in travail. She has anguish. But as soon as she sees a man born into the world, there is joy and rejoicing. How many of you have had that experience? And from sorrow, there is joy, because here is a child. And when it says a man is born into the world, it means a human being. And then upon his sphere of activity, where he's going to live, and he's born with all the potential and with all the joys of the world, but there are also the sorrows of the world, and there is a failing to live up to those potentials. And instead of sorrow being turned to joy, the sorrow that was joy for a while is turned to sorrow again when she finds out that this child that she's holding in her arms has to make the confession that David did in Psalm 51. He said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Is that not a sad thing? And so she wants this child to grow up and realize all his potential and to enjoy life and to glorify God. But instead, the first child ever born to a woman, Cain, Cana, "I've gotten a man from the Lord," she says. And think of all that is going to be done now. And what happens is that she sees that she has brought a monster, a murderer, into the world. And that good son, Abel, that came into the world, Cain rises up against him, instigated by Satan. And he kills his brother Abel. And John tells us in his epistle. And why did Cain kill Abel? Because his deeds were evil, and his brother Abel's deeds were righteous. And so do you see there are ever so many variations. But what God wants all you women is to have not the experience of Genesis in its consequences, but yes, suffering part of those consequences, but then all the judgment of sin in the world, all of it being forgotten, because a man is born into the world, and this son shall grow up to bring joy to your hearts. That is the desire of God, even though he has not taken away the consequences of the sin of the first woman. Here is something that is of interest to those that laugh at the Bible and would discredit all that's said in the Old Testament. God says, "You will." Well, do away with this. When you women have children, how many of you have had children without any pain, anguish, discomfort, sorrow? There may be an exception here and there, but I've been told by women, "I do not want to have any more children. It is so painful. It destroys me. The sorrow." All of these things associated with having children. And so you say that there is no such thing as sin. Every time a woman ever has a child, God makes it that she remembers that she is bringing forth a child with the judgment of God placed upon her. And so you say, well, God in his goodness has taken away all the judgments that he placed upon man in the Old Testament. Tell me about women having children. Has that judgment been taken away? You say no. It abides. Why, of course. And God wants you to understand that. And what woman would do today is to say, And he's taken away, a husband shall rule over his wife, and her desire shall be unto her husband. Now, God has taken all that away. You'll find out that psychologically, that has not been taken away. You may resist it and fight against it, but it is just as natural in the judgment as a woman having anguish and pain and sorrow when she brings forth a child. And so God is not going to let man forget. And God is not going to let woman forget. But thank God, our Savior takes from Genesis 3:16 this material for his proverb, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. Our Savior believed Genesis 3:16. Isn't that remarkable? Man does not believe it. And all of you women, when you start having children, it will come to mind, Genesis 3:16. And also, those who do not have a high position and things of ease in the world, and some, as I have read of my grandfathers, they had a farm, and in the sweat of their brow, they earned their food. And some years, the crops failed, and some years, the harvest was barren. And they had all of these experiences. But now, why, we let all the people out west and in the farmlands farm for us, and we come and we earn our labor in a gentle way. Why, we have certain hours that we work, and it is not with sorrow, and the unions demand that we have certain privileges, that all of these things are given to us. Thank God for every privilege that you can get. But remember that a few years ago, there were the sweatshops, and there were those that would labor 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, until finally there is the 5-day week and the 40-hour week, and it's getting less and less because man is determined not to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. He wants to earn it in the easiest possible way, and so he's doing away with that. And a woman, why, she can do away with these things. You see, with modern science, these are drugs that can reduce a woman's pain. And so, why, what is there to worry about when you have children? But understand that just as Rachel died in childbirth, and the wife of Phinehas died in childbirth, so with all the modern inventions, still it can destroy you. And you can never forget. And if you do, it is something that man has to superimpose upon you to make you forget the curse of Genesis 3:16 because of sin. And so now, understand this. It is not only women to whom that proverb is applied, because our Savior uses it of you, first of all, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow. But then he takes it and he applies it to the disciples. Why? For this reason. There is the time of conception with a woman, and there is a time of conception with every experience we have in life that Christ illustrates. Our Savior goes up to Matthew. I told you about Matthew. And he says, follow me. And Matthew left everything and followed the Lord Jesus. That was the conception. And then there is the development through his life. And then Matthew, along with Peter, Andrew, James, and John, when they all accepted Christ's invitation to follow him, that was the conception, like the conception of a woman, and then the experiences going through life. But then they are going to have this sorrow, that if they follow Christ, Christ must be taken away from them. And as they say in Luke 24, we had hoped that he would redeem Israel. Their hearts are broken, and there is that little while of sorrow. And then the Lord Jesus, at the breaking of bread, is made known unto them, and then their hearts that were burning within them, their hearts are filled with joy, and they return the 7 miles and tell about that sorrow that had been turned into joy. Do you see now? The conception, the development, and then the hour that came. Let me mention that hour because you will see it in the other Proverbs as well. In John chapter 12, when the Greeks come and say, we would see Jesus, the Lord Jesus says, the hour has come. Then he says it again, Father, if it be possible, let this hour pass from me. Do you understand that the conception concerning the life of Christ came at a particular time? In Isaiah 6, if you want it illustrated, God says, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And when that conception begins, at that moment, then there is a development in your life that will go and culminate, and there will be a sorrow, and then there will be an issue, and that ultimate issue will be joy. And so it was with the apostles. He said, you've taken me as your Savior. You've chosen to follow me. He said, all of these things are going to be like a woman with child. There is the conception, the development, but then the time of travail comes. And their time of travail was when they thought their Savior had been taken away from them forever. But then they discovered that their little while indeed was a little while, because the Lord Jesus was the one breaking that bread, and the Lord Jesus was the one who was appearing to them. And this is what it says in John chapter 21. The Savior meets them on the shore, and they are looking at him, and they dared not ask him, who are you? Because it says they knew it was Jesus. And so their sorrow had been taken away, and now their hearts were filled with joy. It says they disbelieved for joy. And so this is the illustration of the apostles. A time of sorrow, yes, because once you trust Christ as Savior, these experiences are going to be yours, and so it was with the Apostle Paul. I want you to remember that his whole life long was one of sorrow, judgment, suffering, but he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present hour are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. But you see, it's always that way. The suffering, and then the glory. The sorrow, and then the joy. And it was so with you women. It was so with the apostles. And most of all, it was so with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he says. He says, Father, the hour is come. And he says, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour came I into the world. Father, glorify thy name. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark tells us that he prayed, he fell upon the ground and prayed that this hour might pass from him. But listen to the proverb he spoke. It says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. And the woman does not escape it. And the Lord Jesus, when he said, here am I, send me, then God did send him, but his hour came. And there was no way, because of the judgment of sin, that Christ could escape that hour and mankind could be redeemed. He asked his Father if it were possible that the hour would pass away from him. But the Father let him know experientially that the hour was not going to pass away. And so that hour was looked upon as the contents of a cup. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And so the apostles did not escape that hour. The Lord Jesus did not escape that hour. And so you see that this proverb that Christ speaks does not have one application, but it has abundance of applications. Let me tell you this. If you have ever been saved, whatever your experience may be, at times there is the conception and the miscarriage. What do I mean? Here is this rich young ruler, and the word of God is sown in his heart. He wants to know what he has to do to inherit eternal life. And the Lord Jesus says, it says he looked upon him and he loved him. And he said, one thing thou lackest. And then this conception that was developing, suddenly it terminated. And the Savior said, sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and come follow me. And it says his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful. What happened? That conception that could have gone to full term, it terminated when the man said, no. And then there was the miscarriage. Think of all that God is trying to do in the hearts of lost sinners, and it is like a development that's taking place. Two things. Think of Felix. Here is the Apostle Paul speaking to him, and he's reasoning to him about righteousness and about judgment and about all that is associated with becoming a child of God. And it says, when Felix heard it, he was terrified. And he said, come again at a more convenient season, and I will listen to you. But that terminated, and there was a miscarriage. And with the Apostle Paul, the same thing happened. It seems as if nothing is happening, but he has heard the word of God. Even if you hear the word of God from people that you hate, the word of God is in your heart, and a work has begun. And when on the road to Damascus, the Savior bursts out upon him, he says, Saul, Saul, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Here is the word of God, and he's fighting against it. It's like an animal that's kicking against the goad that's getting him to go in a certain direction. And so here is the Apostle Paul, and conception is trying to take place, and he would do away with it if he could, like Felix did. Like the rich young ruler did. But the Lord Jesus Christ overcomes, and the pricks against which he was kicking, the kicking ceases, and he says, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And the Apostle Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, there is the conception. Do you see? The beginning, the duration, the termination, the sorrow turned to joy. And his life was filled with joy, even though it was filled with sorrow. So here is soul winner, and here is one that is being saved. It is like unto a woman having a child. And in like manner, what is so sad is that when a soul winner loves lost souls, and he sows the word of God in your heart, he is sorrowing as he goes along and he watches the development. He thinks you're going to trust Christ, but then you turn to the side, you're distracted, and all that sorrow is taking place in his heart. And then after you have trusted Christ, a soul turns into the building of a church. And the Apostle Paul says to the Galatians in chapter 4, my little children, of whom I am again in travail until Christ be formed in you. There is the travail of bringing forth the church, and then there is the travail until Christ is formed in that church, in you as individuals. And the Apostle Paul says, I am again in travail until Christ be formed in you. So, I told you, the normal and what will happen if you allow the will of God to be done is this. There will be the conception, there will be the development, and then yes, there will be that sorrow that will break your heart. But then after the sorrow, you remember no more the anguish, but the joy that a man is born into the world. And if one has led a soul to Christ, no matter how much sorrow it has cost him, as Paul and Silas bringing forth a Philippian jailer, think of all that they went through, the travail to bring forth that one lost soul, and yet they rejoiced. They were singing hymns to God, praying at midnight. But it says this. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he is willing to endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the eternal glory and the salvation that are in Christ. He's willing to suffer that. And so here is the soul winner, And here is the church former, and this is what he says about the churches. He says, I have all of these physical sufferings day by day. He said, but not only that, anxiety for all the churches going on within me. So life, in one instance after another, is like a woman bearing a child. But if you allow the will of God to be done, the sorrow, the pain will not go away, but eventually the joy will come. So, the word of God has been sown in your heart. Let it fully develop. Let it make you a child of God, and then the sorrow shall be turned to joy. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for Christ, the parable speaker. We are thankful that knowing all the consequences that were involved in being sent forth on a mission from heaven, he was willing to endure the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. And our Father, thou dost know the sorrow that shall come to some here who are lost if they trust Christ as Savior. But that sorrow shall be turned to joy when they experience the joy of knowing what it is to have your sins forgiven, to have a place reserved in heaven for you, to know that God loves you and the Lord Jesus loves you, and he's coming back someday to receive you to himself. So our God, let there not be miscarriage, but let there be full-term conception, and let sorrow be turned to joy. Save souls, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.